There is a fountain filled with life. So appropriate, Miss Michelle. I love it. Love it. Now, Angie can tell you I was wet just a few minutes ago, weren't you? I gave Angie a hug, and but I was soaked from head to toe. And I said, Lord, he baptized me this morning before we got going too far today. Well, we want to think today about this idea of a life in Christ. And we're going to do it as we look at the life of one of his disciples. He at least gets a highlight once a year, just about in any time after Easter that you will ever see. He wasn't there when Jesus first showed up, so Jesus showed up again to make sure that he would get it as well. Who is this wonderful disciple? We got one sitting right here in the congregation today. That's right. So Thomas the twin. We get a great look at how Jesus cares so much that even if we may not be present the first time, he's going to come on back and make sure we get it too. And in that process, there are a few things that I'd like for us to look at as we think in terms of living this life in Christ. The first two go hand in hand, living in need and poverty. The Beatitudes come to us and they remind us over and over again about how much we lack on our own. That we are not able to do things under our own power. That there are needs in our life that we cannot meet. And we wonder how in the world will things happen and in what way will they happen that will bring about hope and life. Or certainly we look around and we see how we all are poverty stricken in one way or another. Again, the School of Missions, if you haven't heard that yet, 5 o'clock tonight, you're going to see up real and impersonal what it looks like to live in need, what poverty looks like in another whole amazing kind of way, and how God intervenes and works in and through that. And how our lives intersect with that. How can our lives, where we are in need of so many things, where we truly experience poverty, certainly physically, financially, but ultimately our poverty that happens in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we feel as dry and as disconnected and as far away from God. It's in those desert places. It's in the 40 days that Jesus wandered in the wilderness, that through that process at the end, I'm so glad at least one of the gospel accounts said, and after he broke his fast, there were angels there to minister to him. There was something there to feed his physical body as well. And for us to understand that our life in Christ involves walking through times of need, walking through times of poverty, and then allowing God and God alone to nourish and replenish. This idea of loss and pressure are things that happen throughout our life in Christ. It was on Wednesday this week that if you're going through our 40-day journey together, I do have week number 4 available in both large print and small print. They'll be at the back there. We've been on a 40-day journey of prayer. This particular week, we're going to be looking at faith. Last week, these 2 days, loss and pressure, had to do with our ability to be a part of compassion. But it was on this day of loss, and Emily and I were having our staff meeting that day too, and she had already noticed it that morning. It was all about losing a loved one, losing someone that was close to you. And it was a reminder for us that even as we walk through a time of grief, Jesus did the very same thing. Even as you look at Lazarus and how important the life of Mary and Martha and that family unit was to Jesus. But I was also thinking about another loss that happened last night at about 2 a.m. this morning. I get a text. Do any of you hear your text actually go off in the middle of the night? Yeah, I guess maybe I need a larger alarm or something. I don't know. I mean, and so I'm you know, I get up, I woke up at 5 or whatever, and I looked over, and there was a text that came in at 2, and it was from Zach Ransom. Now, Brother David Rainey, my great, great college suite mate who had to put up with me for just a few years at Alderson Broaddus, is here today. Zach's going to soon be married into David's family. He dates one of David's daughters. But Zach texted me at 2 a.m. this morning. He says, "Pastor John, my cousin Nick and I were noticing that your dog was loose going down the hill. So we caught it and brought it to your house, and we rang the doorbell and knocked on your door, and we couldn't get anybody, so we just made a barricade on your front porch and left him there. Hope that's okay." So when I was coherent this morning, I graciously wrote back, "Zach, that's more than okay. Thank you very much." I think he did look at the dog tag to make sure it was our dog, and he did, and that was fine. I think he should be an engineer, though, Dave. He had all of our furniture from the porch barricaded on one side, and then he took the grill on the other side, and he made another hole. I don't think the dog was going anywhere. I mean, I even used another door to get out this morning. I didn't even want to try to figure out the barricade that happened off the front porch. But, there was a loss. I didn't even know there was a loss. And how many times is that a figure in our life as well? We're at a loss, and sometimes we don't even know it. We're so thankful that God speaks into our lostness even when we may not be aware. Now, the next day had a lot to do with, it talked about pressure. Anybody feel like they're under pressure every once in a while from work or family or home or parents? Or there are expectations that are either real or unreal. Doesn't matter. I mean, they're real to us. And we feel we have to live up to something, or we feel we have to meet this deadline, or somebody is relying on us to do the next thing. And there becomes pressure from all sides. Well, we're not alone in that. Our life in Christ is not exempt from pressure. But it is great for us to be reminded that we are never walking through those times alone. Whatever pressure it is, even water pressure that's cascading down all around you, there's a valve that we can reach for that I should have reached for first. Okay, but it's, how many times do we not do, we say, "I can fix this. I got this." I've seen Svizdana do this before, and it didn't have any kind of an effect like this on her. She knew what she was doing. But there is pressure in life, and it will be a part of our walk with Christ. And then ultimately, the last 2 days this week, it was talking about both conflict and being alone. If you haven't had a chance to do a date night, or if you just want to go and see an amazing movie, you need to at least take a friend to do it. I don't recommend you doing this movie by yourself. It's called My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Anybody seen this movie yet? I'm telling you, if you want to see a life lesson on conflict, or a life lesson on being alone when you're in the middle of 15 million people. Did you know you could be absolutely alone but be totally surrounded by people? Yeah, there's amazing examples throughout, and I'm not going to do any spoilers today other than it's about generations in families. And it's not just about a generation where you're already married. It's about getting to that point. It's about living a life with somebody for over 50 years. I think there was conflict from the beginning scene to the ending scene, probably, in this movie. And it was a conflict that you can well, Corinne and I certainly can we laughed from the time, between the times we weren't crying. The time we started the movie till the time we ended. It's amazing demonstration of what conflict might look like in families. And your family, I'm sure, is no exemption to this. And a lot of times, We just want to run from the conflict, or we just want to fix it. We just want to fix it. It's our job. It's our calling in life. And there are some times when we have to realize not only is it not our job, but it never has been our job. It is God and God alone that's in the fixing business. And the conflict that we sometimes, you know, my default is, if I just ignore it long enough, it'll go away. What do you think? Does that work pretty good? Yeah, I don't think so. All that does is just allow things to sweep under the rug until the rug's big enough to now I'm just going to trip over it as I watch the water go up in the sink. Oh, no, okay, that's a whole other story. Yeah, I mean, conflict is part of life. It's what we do with that. It's how we walk through that and realize that we don't do that alone. And there are times, and it can happen in church. It can happen in our families. It can happen at your workplace when you are surrounded by other people. But you feel the most alone that you've ever felt. Nobody seems to get it. Nobody seems to be on the same wavelength. Everybody else seems to have their own stuff, and you're just not a part of it. And we look back in John 17, and when Jesus is in the garden and he's praying to his Father, I think it's one of those times when he is the most alone of any time in the entire 3 years he was with his disciples or his entire earthly life. We get a little glimpse of this when he goes back to him after an hour, and what's he say to the disciples? You couldn't stay praying with me an hour? And he goes back, and he spends time with the one that he knows is not only still with him, but still listening and still wanting to be a part of what's next. So it's our privilege today to think in terms of this life in Christ and how it involves the ability to sit at his table today. As we find ourselves with a life in need, as we find ourselves poor, impoverished in one way or another, at a loss, under extreme pressure, in the midst of conflict, or ultimately feeling all alone, what Christ does today and every day of our lives is he continues to invite us to his table. And he says, you belong here. You belong here. And it's in that setting that we get to come and we get to share today. Let's pray. Almighty God, the God of all compassion, I am so thankful that you continue to speak into our lives today. A life in Christ involves amazing celebrations, and it also involves tremendous opportunities of discouragement and discontent and circumstances that happen to us that we have no control over, and circumstances that happen because we have chosen our own way of doing things over choosing your way of doing things. And Lord, you still invite us to your table. You still invite us to a life in Christ that is worth the journey, that is worth the opportunity for us to take one step at a time and to continue to see where you are leading and to join you where you already are. And we're thankful that you sat at this table some 2,000 years ago. You made the example for us. You passed the cup among the disciples. You took the bread and you broke it and you blessed it and you allowed them to receive this outward symbol of what you have done for us. We love you, Lord. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.